We're going to compare Genesis and Revelation. So if you look at Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Look at Revelation 21:1. Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So we have the beginning of the earth and the end of the earth. The beginning of the earth and the end of the earth. Why is this important? Why is it important that you see this? Because if Genesis is not historically accurate, then why should we believe what's going to come in Revelation? See, we can believe what's going to happen in the future based on what God has done in the past. Our God is faithful. And our faith in and belief in and foundation on the authority of the Word of God in Genesis helps us to know what is coming in the future. Look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14. Genesis 1:14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. Verse 16, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." Now you remember my comment, one of my favorite things that I ever heard John Phillips, the commentator, say. He was preaching a message on the book of Genesis. And he talked about the billions and billions and billions of stars that are out there. And for God it was, "Yeah, he did those too." And of course Dr. Phillips said, "And he made the stars also." Look at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4. Verse 12. Yeah, that's not going to work. Oh well, let's try 8:12. "And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise." What's happening here is God is beginning the removal of the stars. Can you imagine what it would be like for a third of the stars to be gone just like that? That's what's happening here. And then at the end of Revelation, if you look at Revelation chapter 20, look at verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. He said, 'Let there be light.' And he made the stars also." And here at the great white throne judgment, he actually reveals his glory to the universe. And the stars, the very stars, flee from his presence. Why? Why? Because this earth is fallen. This earth is fallen. And God is perfect. And God's perfection is so profound that no unrighteousness can stand in his presence. The beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. Look at, we're not going to take the time to read it all, but in Genesis chapter 37, this is when you have the beginning of human government. The beginning of human government. But look at Revelation chapter 16. Revelation 16 and verse 8. The Bible says, "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. and they gnawed their tongues for pain. What happens all through this Revelation chapter 16 is God is judging the nations, judging the nations, judging the nations. These kings have risen up, and they're coming against our God. God established human government. God ends human government. And then the king will sit on the throne. So the earth's government, and then the earth's judgment. The very earth itself is judged. Look at Genesis 1:16. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. What's the greater light to rule the day? Look at Revelation 21:23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Isn't that awesome? God created the sun, but He knew all along that He was going to be the light of the world. And you know, it doesn't matter how long we live. You know, the sun's running down. The sun's eventually going to stop burning. Now, it won't last that long because God's going to put it out, as we see in the Word of God. But Jesus Christ, the light of the world, His glory will be forever and ever. Then darkness was called night. Look at Genesis 1:5. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Darkness was called night. If you look at Genesis 22, verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, yet they shall reign forever and forever. Isn't that awesome? He said, let there be light at the beginning, knowing exactly what was going to happen, and now here at the end, there's no more need for the sun, because there's no more night. There's no more night. The Bible talks about, we're not going to take the time to go there, but if you look at what Jesus Christ said, men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Isn't that right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, men love darkness. They all the evil is done in the night, in the darkness. Look at Genesis 1:10. Genesis 1:10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good. Now, if you look at Revelation 21, Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was what? No more sea. Do you see where the environmentalists are so wacky? Now, nobody is for pollution. We're supposed to be good stewards. We're supposed to have dominion over the earth. We're supposed to care for the earth, but we're not supposed to worship it. Man is supposed to take precedence over the earth. And our culture is going completely against that. And here's where it becomes important. You know, I can't take the time to go into all of the details, but there are a whole group of evangelicals that are gathered together to fight global warming. Rick Warren's one of the signatories. They had one of the big meetings at his church. Pastor Nathan brought it to my attention that when he prayed at the inauguration, that yeah, he prayed in the name of Jesus, but he also prayed in the name of, what is it? Isa. Isa is the name of Jesus in the Quran. Let's just bring everybody in. Do we not understand who God is? We don't need to apologize for it. People don't need, it doesn't matter if it offends somebody. It does not matter. Better that they be offended so someone else can hear the truth. That's what needs to happen. And when you understand there's going to be no more sun, there's going to be no more earth, there's going to be no more sea, why in the world would we emphasize the earth, the stars, and the sea? That's a complete misunderstanding of God's Word. That's why we've got to understand the foundation of Genesis so we know what's going to happen in Revelation. What I'm going to do is I will print this out for you, but what I'm going to do right now is I'm just going to read through this list. And I want you to just keep in your mind how amazing our God is. All right? Listen to this. a river for their blessing in Genesis 2, a river for the new earth in Revelation 22. Man was created in God's image in Genesis 1:26. Man is headed by Satan's image in Revelation 13. Sin enters in Genesis 3. Sin ends in Revelation 21 and 22. The curse is pronounced in Genesis 3, 14 through 17. The curse is removed in, let's look at it, Revelation 22, 3. Look at Revelation 22, 3 with me. Start reading in verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Can you imagine what kind of water that is? In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. You ever get tired of all the sin that's in the world? You ever get tired of it? You know what? It's going to be gone. That curse is going to be gone. Death enters in 3:19, Genesis 3:19. There's no more death in Revelation 21:4. Cherubim are first mentioned in 3:24, and the final mention is 19:4. We'll spend some time on that when we get there, but remember what the cherubim are mentioned for. God placed a cherubim at the garden, at the entrance to the Garden of Eden, to keep them out. Why did God put a cherub there to keep the people out? Why did he do that? So they wouldn't eat of the tree of life. Why did they not need to eat of the tree of life? Because then they would have had to live forever in a sinful condition. So it was out of love that he did that. But it didn't need to be a cherubim. It didn't need to be a cherub. Cherub is the most powerful of the angels. It didn't need to be that. Why did he post a cherub there? To keep another cherub out. When's that last one taken care of? Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 20. God knows exactly what he's doing. And imagine, these things are written thousands of years apart. Thousands of years apart. Man is driven out of Eden in 3:24. Man is restored in Revelation 22. The tree of life is guarded in 3:24. There's access granted to the tree of life in 22:14. Sorrow and suffering enter in Genesis 3:17. There's no more sorrow in Revelation 22:4. Religion, art, and science are separated from God in Genesis 4. They're judged, they're destroyed in Revelation chapter 18. I want you to understand something. We were saying this, we were in Greenwich Village. If you know anything about Greenwich Village in New York, it's a pretty rough place. It's where the sodomites are. And it's a beautiful place. When we go to Colorado in the summer, when you go to the beautiful places around the world, San Francisco, when we were in Zurich, Switzerland, one of the most beautiful cities you could ever imagine, all the buildings are 600 or 700 years old, and it's full of wickedness. And if you'll notice that the arts, the music, art, they have been taken over by wickedness. Y'all know what I'm talking about? God's going to restore it. God's going to restore it. Do you understand the evil that art has done in our world? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And God is going to take care of that. Then, Nimrod founds Babylon in Genesis chapter 10. Remember, the Bible's a tale of two cities. 300 times the city of Jerusalem is mentioned. 280 times the city of Babylon is mentioned. So Babylon, the city of Satan, is established in Genesis chapter 10, but Babylon falls in Revelation 17 and 18. God's flood to destroy the evil generation from Genesis 6 through 9. Then Satan has his own flood to destroy God's elect in Revelation 12. God gives a rainbow in Genesis 9:18. And he puts a bow for remembrance in Revelation 4:3 and 10:1. Sodom and Egypt are presented in Genesis 13 and 19. That's corruption and judgment. And Sodom and Egypt are mentioned in relationship to Jerusalem in Revelation 11:8. And God brings it all full circle. There's a confederation versus Abraham's people in Genesis 14. In Revelation 12, there's a confederation against Abraham's seed. There's a bride for Abraham's son in Genesis 24. There's a bride for Abraham's seed in Revelation 19. The marriage of the first Adam is in Genesis 2, 18 through 23. The marriage of the last Adam is in Revelation 19. Marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise God. Man's dominion ceased and Satan's began in Genesis 3:24. And Satan's domain is ended and man is restored in Revelation chapter 22. Remember what Revelation is. Remember what prophecy is. Prophecy is God writing history before it happens. Just as sure as God created the world, God is going to come and judge the world. Just as sure as God created the world, God is going to come back and He is going to create the new heavens and the new earth. Just as sure as there's sin in the world now, Jesus Christ is going to return. The Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together to meet Him in the air. Isn't that awesome? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We need to understand this is not all there is. This is not all there is. You know, tomorrow for me is a great day. It's my day off. You know, I'm going to lay around tomorrow and try to do a whole lot of nothing. Most of you, tomorrow, you're back into the mess and the filth of this world. Don't be stained by it. Why don't you be in it as salt and light, knowing, first of all, that God has chosen you to be salt and light, and He's told you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He's also told you that if you'll do that, then at the end of time, you'll have rewards. And when you understand just how short this life is, it's gone. It's gone. Just like that. So first of all, understand that there is going to be, that God has called you to give that gospel. And then secondly, understand that God ordained work. Work is good. You know that God told Adam to work before the fall? Work is not evil. Work is the thing that makes us who we are. It gives us our self-respect. It's the way that God has intended for this world to function. And one of the best things about God's creation is the ability to work. Have you ever been out of work? Isn't it terrible? It feels good for the first couple of days. Then what? Then what do you do? Man, just enjoy it that God has given you the ability to work with your hands and do it for His glory. Amen? The other thing that you need to remember is you go into the world this week. You're going into the world this week. You need to remain unspotted. You need to remain unspotted. The Bible says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Why? So that he can please Him who's called him to be a soldier. God's called you to be a soldier. He's called you to be a soldier. The Bible talks about laying aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Folks, Genesis is true. Revelation proves that Genesis is true, and Genesis proves that Revelation is going to happen. In the meantime, God has placed us here to serve Him. I wonder how we're going to do this year. I wonder how we're going to do in 2009. I want it to be the greatest year in the history of Grace Baptist Church. Can I tell you something? I was a salesman for a long time. I don't want to be a salesman. I'm not just standing up here, rah, rah, shish, boom, bah, you know. That's what makes the grass grow. Blood, 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 right? All these cheers that we love. Wait a minute. That's not one of your cheers? No? Okay. I don't want to be a cheerleader for Grace Baptist Church. I don't want to have to pump you up. That's not what we're looking for. Jesus Christ is coming back. Time is short. We need to go for the Lord. He's told us to go. If you love me, keep my commandments. We need to go for the lost. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And we need to go to our loved ones. We need to go to, just like Andrew. Just like Andrew, we need to go for our loved ones. Genesis is true. Revelation is true. You want to know something? Everything in between is also. Go into the world this week and give somebody the gospel. Live out the faith. Live out this new life that Christ has placed in you. And if each and every one of us will do that, each and every day, I truly believe that 2009 is going to be one of the greatest years in the history of Grace Baptist Church. Discipleship is going to a new level. People are growing in the Lord. our children. Do you realize how much scripture your children know? Isn't that awesome? I think that is just such an amazing blessing. You know, we have these new kids that are going to be coming up and moving into areas of ministry. Whether it's kids that are going to be coming into the teen group this year, or whether it's the kids moving from the nursery into the Cubbies, or Cubbies going into the Sparks, or Sparks going into TNT. Man, it's awesome to see that. And I'm glad Anderson gets to know God. You know? I'm glad that Max, your son, your grandson, gets to know God. Mara gets to know God because people at Grace Baptist Church taught them. Brandon and Emily aren't here. They're serving the Lord in Toledo. But the foundation for that came from right here. Aren't you glad that that's what people get to have coming out of Grace Baptist Church? When you go to work tomorrow, you remember that. You remember that the way you live out your faith there is going to impact what happens in your home. It's also going to impact what happens in somebody else's home. Nick and Yvonne are here because a godly man at work gave him the gospel. It's just so wonderful to see what God can do. I know a lot of you have troubles right now. There are things going on in your lives that are hard. They're hard. You know what the Bible says? That it's just for a little while. The trouble is just for a little while. Where do we learn that from? Genesis and Revelation. Man, let's have a new beginning. Let's have a new beginning with a biblical perspective. Remember what we need? We need a new desire. We need a new priority. We need a new life. God can give all of that to us from this new beginning.